supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear friends, salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic to talk about is hardened hearts. See what date is today. Today, Saturday, is the 15th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 26th of June 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, as the rule of today's special, we have a part of Holy Quran to listen to. For today, we choose a verse from chapter Baqarah, that is the second chapter of the Holy Quran, verse 74. Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Thumma qasat qulubukum بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ
Then your hearts became hardened after that, being like stones or even harder. For indeed there are stones from which rivers burst forth, and there are some of them that split open and water comes out, and there are some of them that fall down for fear of Allah, and Allah is not unaware of what you do.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the hardness of the hearts of the Israelites is referred to. It points out that after witnessing all the events and observing the signs of Allah, and the miraculous evidence that Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, prepared for them, yet their hearts became hard, even harder than stone. Because there are some rocks that bring forth water, or shatter and fall down from the fear of Allah. So their hearts are even harder than these rocks, because neither a spring of passion, love, or knowledge flows out of them, nor tremble they from the fear of Allah.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
So hardened hearts. Spiritually speaking, a hardened heart is one which shows no signs of softness for accepting good or listening to guidance. It is a state of the soul when one has become fully immune to guidance and reformative thoughts. A heart corrupted with perpetual sins, disobedience of divine guidance, and too much indulgence in the material pleasures results in debilitation of reason and thus leads one to the bondage and slavery of material desires and consequently to those who seek to dominate you. A person whose heart has become so hard that he cannot receive or tolerate any good guidance and advice actually prepares himself for complete decline and demise. History records that when the Christians of Spain plotted to overthrow the centuries-old Muslim rule, they led the Muslim to indulge in all kind of lewd acts. This led to weakening of moral resolve and made Muslim rulers unmindful of conspiracies that eventually led to the complete annihilation and obliteration of Muslims in Spain.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about ruthlessness or being hard-hearted. We find that's a typical characteristic of all people, I mean all normal people, is that, okay? When they find that someone is in need of help, they stop and give help to those people who need it. Imagine that, for example, you've traveled to another country or another city and don't know almost anywhere. And you may need some help from other people, from local people here and there. Okay? When you stand, for example, in a street corner and give signal to other people, to local people, that you need help from them, but you find that, nobody comes to your help, okay? What would you imagine regarding them? I mean, regarding the culture, regarding the education, or regarding the personality background and so on. By contrast, when you travel to another country or another city, and the first time you encounter any problem and you stop someone or you ask someone to guide you and you receive good information and his or her kindness and attention and cooperation, you receive a very good picture of them. Although not all people are the same, but I mean, this is your initial and first picture of them. Now you find that according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, as one of the important divine prophets, we find that ruthlessness is one of the most dangerous psychological problems.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We talk about the science of heart and heart. So be with us. Number one of the signs is it is less in glorifying Allah. A heart and heart, dear friend, will lose its jealousy. Its power of faith will weaken. It won't be upset when Allah's prohibition is unheeded. And it won't defy the wrongdoing. After that, it won't be able to differentiate the good from the bad and will not care any more of sins and evil doings. All these will result in a heart that no longer glorifies Allah and His power.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now we are with ways to soften a hard heart. Number one is remembrance of death. Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his pure family, said, "Frequently remember the destroyer of pleasures," meaning death. Remembering death deters one from committing sins, softens rigid hearts, alleviates one's indulgence in this worldly life, and decreases the impacts of catastrophes. It is mentioned a story where a woman came to a saint and complained that her heart was hardened. The saint told her, "If you remember death frequently, your heart will be softened." The woman followed the advice and her heart became softened. Then she came back and thanked the saint.
It is a debilitating spiritual illness, one that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran on numerous occasions. An ailment in which, if an individual does not find remedy, will lead them astray and prevent them from success in this world and akhirah. Qaswatul qalb, or when the heart hardens, is a condition that has been mentioned 6 times in the Holy Quran, including Suratul Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 74. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran discusses the subject of the heart 130 times. You find the subject of the heart is one that appeals to many people, Muslim or non-Muslim. People come forward, and when you ask them to identify themselves, what do they normally do? They place their hands on their chest and say, my name is so-and-so. Some scholars say, a psychologist, therapist say, this shows the importance of the heart, because you and I identify ourselves by placing our hands where? On our chests, where the heart is. You'll find people speaking about the heart in different ways, in different formats. It appeals to many human beings. Yet when the Quran describes the heart and mentions and discusses the heart, it is not in reference to the physical organ, of course. It is to the dimension of the nafs, that some of the scholars say is responsible for recognition. It's responsible for cognition. Others say, no, it is a dimension and a faculty of the soul which should be controlling the faculty of anger, the faculty of desire, and the faculty of imagination. In other words, others say this qalb is in reference to the intellect, and the usage of the aql and the qalb is synonymous. Yet it's a discussion amongst theologians, mystics, urafa, and others as to the exact identity or the reality of the qalb. Irrespective of this, when you and I examine and ponder the verses of the Holy Quran, we find that just how you and I may be, God forbid, facing ailments of the heart physically, like myocardial infarction, angina, heart attack. When these exist, likewise, the Quran describes a range of spiritual illnesses that are associated with the qalb.
As you listen to, we talked about hardened hearts on today's special. Inshallah, we decide to continue to talk about this topic, so please be with us on the next episode of today's special. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and to begin the day, we present you a bezel of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rizal, peace be upon him, on respect due to parents. God punishes people for two sins in this world: injustice and ungratefulness towards parents.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We've been speaking about, or we have mentioned in some of our previous episodes, the concept of love. And we said there is a type of positive love and a type of negative love. Obviously, when we say love, the container that is normally, you know, mentioned, or something that we know in any language, in English, or in Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, in most other languages as well, that particular container where love kind of fills is the heart of the individual. Now, here obviously, we do not mean the physical heart. It is a deeper meaning. The heart means the soul. That love is that which fills and completely encompasses the soul of that particular individual. Because as we know, that love is not a physical concept. It is a concept that is acquired from the relationship between two people. You see the signs of love. So therefore we see that in this particular tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he's saying that two types of love cannot be combined in the same heart, especially if those two things are contradictory to one another. This is important. So the Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that, by Allah, he who loves this world, again this is important, loves this world, that means that his objective is this world. He loves it, he doesn't want to lose it, and he wants everything within it for himself. And befriends others other than us, that is, these individuals do not take and do not place the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam in their proper position. They take others who are not on the same level as the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and make them as the beloved. So here we see that the sign of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. This is also a Quranic injunction. So anyway, the Imam continues and said that that person who loves this world and befriends other than us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, does not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, he cannot love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he has filled his heart with something that is not real. And something such as the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot, if you want to, you know, in terms of a physical example, cannot fill something that has no gaps. Because you want and your objective is this world. You cannot have the objective of the world. And then the objective being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. You can use the world as a means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it is meant for. But as an objective, as the object of your fascination, well, this is something that is difficult to combine. Or rather impossible to combine. As in this tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it,
Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part, we are going to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 8 of Surah Al-Haqqa, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله. تخرها عليهم سبع ليال تخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and you just listened to the recitation of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi reciting verses 1 to 8 of Surah Al-Haqqa. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In these verses, and at the beginning of this surah, we have many meds, and the most repeated one is Maddul Lazim. Al-Haqqa. The word Al-Haqqa is repeated thrice at the beginning of this surah. And you know that Maddul Lazim has to be lengthened to 6 vowel counts.
And when does it occur?
Yes, that's important. It occurs whenever there is a sukoon or shadda after a long vowel.
Okay. So within a one word, actually.
In one word, yeah. Actually, it could be in two words if it's a sukun. But if it's a shatta, it's in one word, obviously.
Yes.
So we can see that after ha, the aliful mad, we have a letter with shatta. The qaf has a shatta. Al-haqqa. So we have to lengthen it to six vowel counts. And all the riwayat say that you have to lengthen to six vowel counts.
You said that when there's a sukun after this long vowel, this maddul lazim takes place. But how is it possible? Could you give an example of a word which begins with a saken letter?
Yes. See, when we say the cause of maddul lazim is sukun,
mm-hmm.
it is actually only sukun.
Yes.
Because shatta itself has a sukun.
Yes, of course.
Because we have two of the same letters, the first one with sukun and the second one with a halakha.
Yeah, I'm talking about the phrase. When
so,
when
yes, now the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in phrases such as a al-ana, a is one word. It
yes.
means it's a, if we're asking a question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For example, a ilahum ma'allah. Is there any God? Any partner, a ilahum ma'allah, is there any God but Allah?
Yes.
For example, a itself is one word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word that's used to ask a question.
That's correct.
In some phrases, it's not pronounced. We don't say a al-ana. We only pronounce the first letter with a long vowel. Okay? Instead of saying al-ana, which is difficult to pronounce, we say al-ana. So as you can see, we have an aliful mad followed by a lam with sukun. And
but
so this is maddul lazim.
But a itself is a short vowel, isn't it?
No, it becomes a long vowel because of assimilation.
Yeah, it becomes a
it
long
becomes
vowel.
A long
but
vowel.
In general, it's a short
yeah,
vowel.
It's a short vowel, yes, exactly. But in order so for us to be able to pronounce it with more ease,
mm-hmm.
okay, we turn this short vowel into a long vowel,
and
instead
we link
of
these
yes,
two
instead
short
of pronouncing
vowels.
Two fathas,
uh-huh.
al-an, we pronounce the hamza with one long vowel.
And
because
the long
it's difficult to say al-an.
And the long vowel lengthens to six vowel
six counts.
Counts
because
and
it's
in this case,
by
again, we say that it is a maddul
lazim.
The maddul lazim.
Yeah, it's a maddul lazim. Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
So this is maddul lazim. Wa ma adaraka. That's another mad. But it's not maddul lazim. It's maddul munfasil.
Disjunct mad.
It's disjunct mad. If you're reciting in hafs, you're allowed to lengthen it just like a normal long vowel, maddul tabiri, to two vowel counts. Wa ma adaraka.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other riwayat, such as warsh, you have to lengthen it to six vowel counts. Just like this recitation. This was in warsh.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, wama, wama adareka. He did taqalil on the ra, which is a sign of warsh.
Mm-hmm.
And one very important rule of tajweed in verse number 4 is iqlab of nun sakina. Which can happen both within a phrase and a word. Here
uh-huh.
we have within a phrase. Iqlab, which means transformation, change of something from something to something
to
else.
Something else.
Yeah. Now, the change is the nun sakina turning into a mim sakina. Why does this happen? Because of the letter ba that's after
the nun
sakina. And we said rules of nun sakina and tanween are the same because tanween ends with the nun sakina.
Yes.
So in verse number 4, we have wa'adun bil qari'ah.
And nun sakina comes to ba.
To ba. So we have to do iqlab.
And how?
Iqlab is probably the most difficult rule of nun sakina. The nun turns into a meme.
Yes.
Okay? Meme sakina. Now, the mim sakina should be pronounced with ikhfa. Adun بِالْقَارِعَ. The mouth is slightly open while applying the ghumna for two vowels.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
If a person has learned something and is stored in his memory or her memory, okay, when he goes or she goes through the difficulties and a stressful situation of death and the day of judgment, memory will be erased. Okay? It will be erased. But those things that you learned and then absorbed them and became malaka, became fixed quality of your soul, you are not going to forget them. Okay? When Quran is just in your memory, maybe someone hits you, you forget. The memory is gone. But if Quran is in every flesh cell of, you know, your flesh and blood, then it's never separable from you. Okay? So this is why it's important to absorb the Quran. This is why, for example, Hadith says the person who goes on the Sirat bridge, when he says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he will very quickly pass and cross Jahannam. But who can say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? That's important. If in dunya Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim has become part of yourself, then you remember to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Otherwise, you would not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at that time. So we have to make sure that Quran is so much taken on board that it will never be separated from us.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program the ocean of dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء
وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء. I ask you by your might which nothing can resist. Previously, we have talked about the different phrases of the beginning of this dua. Specifically in the previous program, we discussed the different signs and aspects of Jabarut, which Almighty Allah compensates for the shortcomings of the creatures and makes them reach their full capacities. Now, in this phrase, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I ask you by your might, which nothing can resist. وَبِعِزَّتِكَ الَّتِي لَا يَقُومُ لَهَا شَيْءٍ. Allah has created everything by His strength and encompassed them with His mercy. As we read in the first and beginning phrase of this dua, اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ يَسْأَلُكَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ الَّتِي وَسَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. At first, it is the sign of His mercy. The creation at first is subjected to His mercy. So everything shows humbleness and humility before Him, as we had it. وَبِقُوَّتِكَ الَّتِي قَهَرْتَ بِهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَخَضَعَ لَهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَذَلَّ لَهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. The strength to which everything is humble. And after that, He has compensated our shortcomings by His invincibility. وَبِجَبَرُوتِكَ الَّتِي غَلَبْتَ بِهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. How can anything, in whatever position it may be, resist His might? All the inhabitants from the heavens and the earth, and from the hidden to the visible beings, are rays of His enlightening might. The creatures are only shadows of His essence. How can they resist His eternal might and infinite strength? The Arabic word عزة, وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء, which means strength, exists in all the creatures as part of Almighty Allah's holy strength. The glimmer of a small light is far inferior from the other rays of an infinite and eternal source of an illuminating essence. The Holy Quran says, فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. To Allah belong all glory and power. So, based on this Holy Quranic verse, all the power belongs to Allah. He grants power to anyone He wills according to his or her capacity. In fact, He does not grant power to anyone He does not like, and regains power from anyone He wills. So, no authority is independent of Him, and no one can resist His power. He is the undefeated might.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny. O Allah, I beseech you, by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might, by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty, against which nothing can stand,
And by your greatness, which prevails over everything, and by your authority, which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished. And by your names which manifest your power over everything. And by your knowledge which pervades everything. And by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O he who is light, O he most holy, O he who is light, O he most holy.
So in the next phrase, in this dua we read, وَبِعَظَمَتِكَ الَّتِي مَلَأَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. I ask you by your greatness, which has filled all things. It is conceivable that to some extent the position and rank of an actor can be realized through his act. Suppose an engineer who builds a 100-story skyscraper. He is probably a skillful and intelligent person, a distinguished author, such as Sadr al-Muta'allihin, who has written some valuable books such as Asfar and Hikmatul Muta'aliyah. And books like Asrarul Ayat demonstrates a great mentality and high intellect in his writings. Now, we recognize the skill of an inventor of an electric factory through his accurate job, which is to illuminate the dark nights to become as bright as the days. Now, the Almighty Allah's greatness is in his pre-existence, is in his eternity and infinity. His greatness is not easily recognizable for us, but we can observe the rays and signs of his greatness by pondering on the world, by pondering on the creatures and the magnitude of the creation, since his greatness is contained in everything. You may remember in the beginning programs, we talked about the creation of human beings. Then we discussed the creation of the universe, also the different animals, and how the Almighty Allah's embracing mercy has covered them all. Regarding this phrase, وَبِعَظَمَتِكَ الَّتِي مَلَأَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, by your greatness which has filled everything, we will inshallah have a look at two traditions and some scientific facts in order to clarify our points. We will talk about that more in the next program. Thank you for staying with us. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let stray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. Of course, this program is dedicated to the memory of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And it's about his life and times and his great personality. I'm your host for this program, Ijaz Hussain, and I'd first like to welcome my guest who on the program who is going to discuss this great personality with me, and that's Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, my good friend, and I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. He's an Islamic scholar as well as an academic and a researcher as well. I think we're going to begin from, you know, our continuation, because this is like part two of what we were saying in our previous program, which was about the Bakhtiar government and about the fact that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was like a lion, right? In
yes.
terms of, you know, you talked about the throffer that was given by the American government at the time.
Threat and offer.
Threat and offer. And, you know, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, comes out with the fatwa for a jihad against the U.S., which was something that, you know,